You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Leviticus 19, we're coming to the end of our series on touchy topics. I know we've missed a couple weeks because of Easter and different things, and I think I was sick one of those weeks as well, touchy topics, things that are bigger issues in our day than maybe have been in the past. And so tonight, I want to look at a passage of scripture here and give you some thoughts on this topic tonight. Tattoos and body piercings. Tattoos and body piercings. Now, before the service, I told two of our men, I said, this message tonight's for you. I said, I just want you to know, Brother Slater and Brother Robinette, I told them, I said, when you hear the title, I want you to know I prepared this for you, okay? These body piercings are getting out of control. So I wanted to just say that. Now, I know tonight you're probably like, Pastor, that's why I came tonight. That soul-enriching idea of what the Bible says about tattoos and body piercings. And you got the good stuff this morning as far as, you know, you're valuable and God loves you. And tonight, we're getting the stuff, the things that we deal with on a daily basis, and trying to give us the biblical principles about a thing, even if there's not clear commands. And you say, well, Pastor, there's a clear command, just read it and pray and be done. There's not really a clear command. But we are going to look at tonight Leviticus chapter 19, and I want to start here because when we're dealing with this idea of tattoos and body piercings, are any okay? As far as tattoos are concerned, are some good or some bad? Is a cross, you know, a big cross tattoo in the middle of my forehead, is that okay? How about piercings? Is one okay? Is two okay? Is 10 okay? Is 20 okay? What's the Bible? Is there a line? Is there a Bible mandate on that? And so we're going to look at some things, but this is normally the passage that people would turn to say, no tattoos, nothing, okay? So let's look at Leviticus 19, and we need to be honest biblically when we read the Bible. And let me just say this. Don't come to your conclusion and then go to the Bible and try to back it up. And I feel like some of us, as pastors and preachers in the past, we've gotten an idea of, I don't like this, so I'm going to take this verse and I'm going to twist it and use it to say, don't do this because I don't like it. But let's look at what the Bible actually says and teaches. So Leviticus 19, giving the Levitical law here to the Jewish people. Look at verse 28. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Well, Pastor, there it is. Don't print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. I have to be honest, sometimes when I usually only do this if I'm in church or somewhere like that, where because my reminder system, as we found out last Wednesday night, is my phone. Siri reminds me of everything. I said, Siri, remind me of this. But if I'm sitting in church somewhere, I'll put a mark on my hand. I'll put like a little X there or a letter to remind. I don't know. I've done that for a long time. And so is that wrong? How about when we have Spirit Week and we put face paint on? Because like we've done that in the past, and my family and I have gone full Braveheart, where we've just put like the hand, you know, and the blue paint and all of that. Is that wrong? Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Again, a hot topic in churches nowadays. So let's pray and hopefully shed some light on this tonight. Father, bless these next few moments we have with your word. God, give us a love for the Bible, please. Would you help us to just decide that whatever the book says, that's what we're going to do. And help us to decide that whatever pleases you, that's what we want to do. We're here to please you, not ourselves. And so give us wisdom tonight from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Long time ago, I was preaching a message to the teenagers many years ago, and I was preaching about tattoos, and I preached against it. And I remember I walked out, and one of our bus teens was walking into the restroom, and I didn't know he was in there, and I walked into the restroom to wash my hands before coming down to church after Sunday school. And I walked in, and he had rolled up his shirt sleeve, and he was taking off a bandage when I came in. And he had just yesterday, the day before, gotten a brand new, enormous tattoo on his arm, and he's like, Mother Reynolds, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And I'm like, it was just kind of funny, like at that moment that I walked in and he's like trying to take care of it and dab it. And he's like, it's hurting so bad. I was like, you deserve it. No, I didn't say that. But, it's a thing people have. And I don't want to ask tonight how many of you have tattoos. I have several. No, I'm just kidding. One time, though, I really wanted to do this. We had some new guys come into to our winter retreat. And I really wanted to do this so bad, but I didn't think it was a good testimony. And so we're all standing in the same room. I was going to get some print-on tattoos because we had several new guys that were coming, and I put them in my room. And Emiliano Estrada and some others like that who were just getting into church. And I was going to put an enormous, like, eagle tattoo on my back, you know, because you're getting dressed and everything and just, like, not say a word about it. But thankfully, the Lord gave me some wisdom in that, and I did not do that. But my dad, when he was 13 years old, tattooed himself. And I guess he just got a needle, probably some rusty nail from the yard, you know how it is, and dipped it in ink, and he tattooed himself in three places. And they're still there all these years later. And my mom and dad will be here in a week and a half. They'll be coming out for a while to watch our kiddos as Faith and I are on a trip. And he did that himself. So I don't want to ask tonight how many of you have tattoos, but I'm sure there's a good portion of you tonight that have got some secret, shameful tattoos there. But that's okay. What does the Bible say? Now, let me just help you with this. This verse is not outright condemning tattoos. As much as I would like personally for it to, it's not doing that. Because it is talking about, notice the prepositional phrase here, that really is what the context is about. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. In the context of talking about a pagan philosophy or a pagan thing that crept into Israel, we're saying you're not going to cut yourself or print marks upon you for the dead, to honor the dead. And that's what it's talking about there. There are a few verses even in the Bible, in Ezekiel and other places, that refer to earrings and nose rings in a positive way. Did you know that? In fact, in Ezekiel it says that God said he had put a ring in their ear and in their nose. So it's interesting to think, well, what is all this talking about? What does it mean for us today? And then there are tattoos and piercings now that have a cultural significance to them, and they're not necessarily all pagan, but how do we know what to do? Well, we need to apply. If only there was a formula. If only there was a pastor that would give you some. We have a formula. Let's look at the screen tonight, and we saw this before, right? When we're dealing with a topic in the Bible that we don't know. Like, the Bible is silent on this issue because there's so many things out there. Well, what do we do? What do we do? We looked at this many weeks ago, and you start with Scripture. Can I get an amen on that? You start with the Bible. You start with Scripture always. You don't start with, well, I think, well, I believe. You start with Scripture. When you read the Bible gives you a principle, not a command, because again, there's not a thou shalt not or thou shalt for everything in the Bible. So it gives you a principle that to follow. We're going to look at several, which leads you to a conviction, which says, you know what? Because God said this in his word, that leads me to a conviction. The Bible says my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is God's. And so that leads me to a conviction that, man, I shouldn't mess up God's temple, which leads me to a standard. And a standard just meaning a line that I'm drawing in the sand, saying I'm not going to go past this. Does the standard equal biblical commands? No, it doesn't. But the standard is there to keep you from breaking biblical commands. And we get this mixed up in churches. We think the standard is the command. And if I have a standard, then and you have to follow my standard or else you're wicked. No, a standard is a line that I'm drawing saying, I don't want to break this command over here, so I'm going to draw my line right here. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at some scriptural principles. Now, I like doing this because every time I'm giving you a principle in Scripture, they stack up and they can be applied in other areas. And so that's why I like giving these principles tonight. So let's look at some principles for the sake of Brother Slater and Brother Robinette, about tattoos and body piercings tonight. What are some principles? Go to 1 Thessalonians, please. We're going to be turning in our Bibles tonight because we start and end with the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the New Testament, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here is a great principle for us to follow in many areas. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. And it says this in a couple other places as well. Prove all things. In fact, in other places it says, prove that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The first, and I'm going to ask these in question form. So the first principle tonight, when it comes to tattoos and body piercings, and again, we know that there's the body piercings of the one earring, two earrings, 10 earrings, there's nose rings, there's eyebrow rings, there are other more disturbing rings, there's belly button things and all this kind of stuff that's going on out there. And then on the other side of that, we got tattoos. There's blackout tattoos where they just make everything a solid color of black. And there's extremities to both sides of this. So we're going to look at some biblical principles. The first question we need to ask ourselves in regards to these type of issues, and if you're going to teach this or talk to someone else about it, is this question. Can you prove that it's good? Can you prove that it is good? Because the Bible says that we are to prove all things, test all things. When you're looking for proof of something, you're testing the validity of it. You're looking to say, is this accurate? Is this right? The Bible says, prove that which is good in other passages. Approve those things which are excellent in Philippians chapter 1, I think it's verse 10. So proving that which is good. Can you prove that what you're doing is a good thing to do? Can you look and say, okay, this tattoo is a good thing because of this? I think these piercings are a good thing because of this. And again, when we're looking at the Bible, we're never told, hey, prove why this is wrong. It always says, prove why it is right. Look at what is right about it. So that's the first thing we start with. Can you prove that what you're doing is good? And again, that is a principle that could apply to many other things that we see in our world. Can you prove it's good? The second question, go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Back in your Bible, Romans chapter 14. I'll race you. I won. I'm there. Romans chapter 14. I have a lot of questions, so I'm going to move fast with these principles. Can you prove that it is good? The second question I would ask is this. Can you do it by faith in good conscience? Can you do it by faith and in good conscience? Look, if you would, at Romans 14, verse 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, what is this all talking about here? And this whole passage about meat and being a stumbling block and all these different things, and there's some Christian liberty kind of ideas in here. It's talking about if you can't do something in full faith, that it is okay. If you can't do something with a clean conscience, then you should not do it. There are things that you'll be tempted with in life in many ways. Maybe your friends are, hey, we're just going to go out and get a drink, but you know, you can have water. You don't have to drink with us. There are different things that happen in life. That's an extreme case, but there are times where you will get a feeling of, I don't know if I should partake in that. I don't know if that's right for me. And the Bible teaches you that if you're in doubt, don't. If you can't do something in full faith with a clean conscience, then it is best not to do it. And that's a topic, that's a principle that can be applied to many other touchy topics. And of course, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you not to do it, then you shouldn't do it. Of course. So if there's not a clear conscience, so if you're going to, you know, let's see here, who's the Dodgers? We'll just use the Dodgers because most Dodgers are tattooed and drug addicts. So here we go. So I'm just kidding. I know I've got so many Dodgers fans. And yes, I know they're playing the Cubs. And I don't even know who won, but congratulations, Dodgers. I'm sure you did. All right. But if you decide this is the year, you know, they buy their championship. I mean, they win their championship this year, and they get the World Series and all that, and you're like, you know what? I want to celebrate this. I want to commemorate this with a huge picture of Mookie Betts right here on my shoulder. But then something inside says, can you do that in good conscience? And there's that doubt. I would say, don't do it. For many other reasons too, but don't do it. If the Spirit is convicting you, or you cannot do it with full faith that God is good with it, and some people, that's a tricky thing, they trick themselves there. But if you cannot do it by good faith, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The third question I'd like to ask you is this question. Now go, I'll say it in a second. Go to the next book over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're looking at principles tonight, okay? The first principle said, prove what's good. The second principle said, if you cannot do it with a clean or clear conscience, then do not do it. The third principle that we see here is in regards to our body. And the question is, when you're looking at the body piercings and the tattoos, is it okay to do this to God's temple? Is it okay to do it to God's temple? Look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? God indwells us, the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now look at this. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. What does it mean to defile? Well, maybe you ought to look that up. Maybe you ought to think through that. Look, if you would, flip a page to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 19. So, in other words, God takes it pretty serious about what happens with his temple. Verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. You're valuable. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So again, our bodies don't belong to us. They belong to God. So when you're considering these things, the question is it okay to do this to God's temple? Is this, would God be okay with this? What about, is there scarring that will be left behind forever? What if I get something, a tattoo, and I regret it, and I have to get it taken off? You know, we need to consider those things. It's like the guy who got a tattoo on his shoulder of his girlfriend, and it said Sally, and then he broke up with her, so he got a line tattooed through it, and beneath that it said Vanessa, then he broke up with her, and he got a line through that one, and beneath it, like five girlfriends later, you know, he's got all these things on there. You know, we have at our church a graffiti team, which, again, I think it's a pretty unique ministry. I don't know how many people in America, I mean, churches in America have a graffiti team. You know, but we have a graffiti team. Why? We don't want graffiti on God's temple, on the house of God, what we call the house of God, the church. We don't want it defiled. So I would ask, does it make sense that we would care for in the same way the temple of God? That's a question we need to answer. That's a question we need to think about. And of course, I'm sure you know my personal preferences, my personal biases, but I want you to be thinking about these things as well. And many of you are like, I'm never going to get a tattoo. I'm never going to get a body piercing besides the three earrings I have or whatever. But you still need to understand biblical principles. You still need to know how this works, because I will tell you, when you're dealing with people and you say, well, the Bible says so, and they say, where? And you go, well, I don't know. That doesn't fly. You need to know the whys and the why not. So the third question was, is it okay to do that to God's temple? Question number four, Ephesians. Go to the right, to the book of Ephesians, just a couple books to the right. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. I like these messages where I'm giving you just tons of principles because this is a skill that you must learn as a Christian of how to discern whether something is right or wrong. Because I'm not going to be there for every movie you watch, for every song you listen to, for every new thing that comes out. You need to have the discernment by reason of use, Hebrews 5, to discern between the good and evil, all right? So here's the next question that I would ask in regards to tattoos and body piercings. Is it done out of rebellion? Now look at Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Clear command here, and this is only in this situation of parents being in authority over their children in the home. So if a child, teenager, young person who is in the home is going against parents' wishes to get piercings or tattoos, it is wrong. It is clearly wrong. Whether or not, you know, even if it's a single earring, but your parents are saying not until you're 18 and you decide to do it anyway, it has become a sign of rebellion and it is wrong. That is a clear principle in my mind right there from Scripture. Now again, does that mean that when you're 45 years old, you still have to listen and obey what your parents said when you were in their home 20 years ago? No, it doesn't mean that. You have to come up with your own principles from the Bible, but if it is done in rebellion as a young person to authority, it is wrong. That is sinful. We see that. That's a clear thing. Question number five. I would ask this question when it comes to tattoos and body piercings. What is the motivation behind it? Okay, now take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians. Go back a couple pages, 1 Corinthians 10, please. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to read you a few verses here. In Proverbs 16, verse 2, and if you can flip your pages and listen at the same time, that's a great skill, so I hope you have it here. But Proverbs 16, 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All the ways of man, we can justify anything we want, but God is looking at the why. God is weighing the spirit. So get this, God is very interested in why you are doing what you're doing. Why do you want the tattoo? Why do you want the piercings? Why do you want that? Well, Pastor, you know, I'm a teenager and I saw that Justin Bieber had this tattoo, so I just want to... What? Well, you know, Taylor Swift's got this new piercing in her ear and I just want... What? If that is our motivation, that's wrong motivation. You have to ask, what is the motivation behind these things I'm doing? Is it to fit into some subculture in America of tattoos and body piercing? Is it to, I'm doing this because I want to be identified with a certain look or a certain people instead of being identified with Christ? I want to be identified with this person, so I'm going to dress like them. I want to be identified with these people, so I'm going to act like them, or I'm going to do what they do. I'm going to listen what they listen to. I'm going to put on my body what they put on. That motivation matters to the Lord. It should matter to us. Is it peer pressure? Am I just doing this because everybody else did it? Colossians 3:3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." You're dead. You identify with nothing on this. You are to identify with Christ. That's who your life is. You are alive in Christ, dead to everything else. So your identity is not in some rap culture, some pop music culture. So your identity is in Jesus Christ. That's why when Christians are involved in these other cultures, they stick out. They don't look right because that's not who you are. People know, and people should know. Because that's not where your identity is found. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. What's our motivation? Verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So is your motivation behind things glory to the glory of God? Or is it, I want to fit in with this culture? That's question number five. See, Pastor, how many questions do you have? Wouldn't you like to know? I'm not telling you. There's a lot, all right? Whew. Question number, there's really not. Question number six. The question I would ask after you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. There's not many left here. Stay with me. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I hope you're paying attention because a lot of these, again, deal with so many things that will come up in life. What's your motivation? There's this new fad to wear these clothings, to do this TikTok dance, to buy this Stanley Cup because everybody has it, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't care if you have a Stanley Cup. I really don't. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there are so many of these things that come out. What is your motivation? Why are you doing it? Oh, because I want to fit in with everybody else. Well, is that a godly motivation, I would ask? Here's another question for you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. The question is this. Does it draw undue attention to your body? Does it draw undue attention to your body? Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. The emphasis, what he's saying here, is the inside is what truly makes someone beautiful, not the outside. The inside is what is more important than the outside. And it's always emphasized that way in Scripture, that the inner adornment is more important than the outer adornment. Now, some people do crazy things and get tattoos or piercings or dress in a certain way, and they're not doing it to fit in, they're doing it to stand out. Some people do things to draw attention to their body because of insecurity or whatever. There's a ton of reasons why, but they do those things to purposely draw attention to their body. And if you are doing that, if you're purposely wearing something or acting in a way or putting something on your body or tattooing or piercings to draw attention to your body, it is wrong. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:5, be clothed with humility. Humility, not, you know, sumptuous fare and clothing. And it's not about the outward adorning. Does that mean, you know, you have to walk around a burlap sack? No, I'm not saying that. I think you can dress sharp and look good, but if you are purposely wearing things to draw attention to yourself, to your body, that is wrong. And I think I can show you several scriptures about that as well. But that is something we need to consider. Why am I doing this? Am I trying to draw attention to the body? Because, again, the inner is more important than the outer. The body fades. The body goes away. But what we are who we are on the inside, the spirit and soul. The next question I would ask is this. Will it be a stumbling block to other people? Will it be a stumbling block to other people? Romans chapter 14, I've had you turn to a lot of places. You can go there if you want, but Romans chapter 14 has this to say about this, and it's also talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we were already in Romans 14 where it dealt a little bit with whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But Romans chapter 14, verse 21 says this. I'll read verse 20 and 21. For meat, destroy not the work of God. For things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. So there is a principle here of being a stumbling block to other people. We're going to be very careful about that. As newer Christians in the faith see Christians that have been in the faith for a long time doing certain things, is it going to hurt their faith? Now, some of you've had tattoos and you got them when you were younger, or maybe you got them recently, or maybe you got them before you heard teaching on it, or you've never really given a lot of thought to it, or maybe you think they're totally okay. I don't know where you're at with that. But as you're growing in your faith, and if other people are watching you and how you're doing certain things, and it hurts them spiritually, in a way you are responsible. Well, I'm not responsible for what anybody else does. In a way, you are. If you are causing a brother to stumble, then yes, you are responsible in that way. My wife's grandfather was in the mafia, literally, the Dixie Mafia in Louisiana. And there's a lot of story there. But he was on national news for some things that he did, and he testified against people, and you know, their family went into witness protection program, Pastor Ray, when he was a kid. I mean, there was a whole thing. And Pastor Ray's dad got saved, Faith's grandfather, got saved out of this terrible lifestyle. I mean, his best friend was like a murderer, and like, I mean, it's a rough story. But he got saved by the grace of God. Wonderful. Praise the Lord, he got saved. And so he starts going, well, I want what my wife has, and she's got Christ, and I want to get saved. And so he starts going to church, good church. And then he hears about soul winning. He decides to give soul winning a try. So he goes out with one of the deacons of the church, soul winning. Now, her grandfather, and Pastor Ray wrote a book about this. There's actually a book out about this that he wrote about his dad. And so this is not secret things I'm telling you. But his dad said that he was drunk for years, just like lived drunk, it seemed like. And so he comes out of that lifestyle. He pours out all the alcohol. He used to just keep it in the trunk of his car and just poured it all out. Obvious change, obvious God had done something. He goes out soul winning with this deacon from the church. They go soul winning, and after he's done, the deacon says, hey, let's go get a drink, and pulls into a bar. That deacon's name was John Delgado. No, I'm just kidding. But can you imagine from a deacon of a church? Do you know what that did? Do you know what that potentially could have done? He almost walked away completely from it. He said, if they're no different, then why would I want to be like them? But by the grace of God, he gave it another shot and became a great man. That was an incredible stumbling block, though. You know what? God is looking at that, and you think God's happy with that. No, not. When you get saved out of something, you don't want to be dragged back down into the mud. So as Christians, let's be very careful that what we do, because we want to be popular, because we want to be cool, because we want to do whatever, let's be very careful that we're not dragging somebody else back down into the mud where they were. That's a very scary thing. And for all the people out there that say, well, you know, you shouldn't do it. We are responsible. We are responsible for a brother or sister in Christ. Yes, we are, in regards to if we're causing them to stumble. Number 8, I only have 9 questions, okay, so 2 left. Here we go. You're like, only 9, Pastor? Yes, only 9. Here's the question. When you're thinking about these issues, another principle, does it hurt your testimony or your witnessing opportunities for Christ? Does it hurt your testimony or your witnessing opportunities for Christ? I won't have you turn there, but 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representatives of Christ. There are many people in life that the only Jesus they will ever hear about or know is what they see in me and you. That we are representatives. We are ambassadors going to the heathen on behalf of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, what I am doing, does this make me a greater witness? Or is what I'm doing hindering my witness? Well, you know, I think we ought to be like the world to win the world. You won't find that in the Bible anywhere. I think we ought to be sinful to win sinful people. You won't find that. Can you relate to people? Absolutely. But people need to see the difference. Or why would they want what you have? There's a difference. Does it hurt? As we bring God's message to this world, the Bible calls us lights. We're to be billboards for the Lord Jesus Christ. Does it matter how a Christian looks? Absolutely. It does matter how a Christian looks. But the inside is more important. We understand that. The inside is more important. But it does matter how we represent Christ. So what you're doing doesn't hurt you. Well, Pastor, I'm going to get 2 cross tattoos here, and I'm going to get Jesus saves right here, and it'll be a great witnessing opportunity. Well, I would just say, pray on that. Pray on that for a week or two or 17 years. You know, just really pray on that for a little bit and think, is that the best? Is that the best witnessing opportunity or testimony that you could have? You know, I think about, you know, if I was driving around my minivan and dented and there's bullet holes and there's graffiti all over it. I've got bad stickers and Budweiser, you know, the slogans on there. Broken windows, there's trash everywhere, which isn't too far off from where our minivan usually is. But, no, I'm kidding. But if you saw that, you'd say, Pastor, what are you doing? That's not a good testimony. I kind of lose a little respect for you. Like, if that's how you're treating your van and you're not taking care of it and you're allowing all this stuff to be put on it, you know, that reflects upon badly is the owner. And when we are treating our bodies wrong, and when people see that, it reflects badly upon the owner. So we need to be aware of that, that our testimony could be hurt. The last question I have for you tonight is this. Is it worldly, or does it appear evil? Is it worldly, or does it appear evil? And we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the first or second verse we read was about the appearance of evil. Not to have the appearance of evil. And, of course, we know that God hates the world. Well, no, God loves the world. Yeah, the mankind world. But God hates the system, the world system that the devil's in charge of. Because why? Because the world is against God. God is against the world. Love not the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So we know God hates the world. So when God's people are trying to become more like what he hates, that doesn't resonate with what God wants us to be. He has said, I'm calling you out of this world and rescuing out of this mire and setting your feet upon a rock, but you're running back right to it. So where's that in Scripture? Everywhere. Have you read Isaiah? Have you read Jeremiah? Have you read Ezekiel? Have you read Daniel and Hosea? And there's so many times. You read Exodus and Deuteronomy. God's people, see, the hardest thing was not getting God's people out of Egypt. The hardest thing was getting Egypt out of God's people. They kept running back to it. It was like, oh, we're rescued. Let me get right back in there. Yeah, crazy. Unbelievable. And that's what it is when we're doing something to be more like our world system. We are doing something that is making us less like Christ, taking us further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be a good thing? How can that be something that God is honored by and pleased by when he says, I've rescued you out, and you're running right back to it? You know how the Bible puts it in the book of Proverbs? As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So you rescue, you ever seen dogs do this? They're disgusting. They throw up, and then they're like, oh, that made me so sick, but that looks delicious. And they go right back. I've seen our dogs do this, and you're just like, stop, you know? It made you sick once. What's the second time? It's going to kill you. But as Christians, we get saved and brought out of the world, and then we're like, you know what? I want to get back in there. Why are we doing that? So these are principles that you can apply to so many things. We're applying them in these 2 ways tonight. But think about what you're doing. Are you going back into the lifestyle that Christ rescued you out of? Why do that? Because when you do that, I want to be close to Jesus. Then get away from the world, or else you can't be. Our desire in everything we do should be to please Jesus. Can we just agree on that? That our desire in everything we do should be, I want to please Jesus. That's what I want. So the question tonight is, are you going to line up your beliefs with the Bible? Will you decide to look at Bible principles instead of what's popular? And again, I'm not telling you what to do tonight, because I do think there is some area here, some area of Christian liberty, but I do think you need to look through and answer these questions tonight and apply them to different parts of your life and decide, If it has anything to do with the world, I don't want it, because that's not where God is. He's not there. That's not what he wants. He's called me out to be separate for him, and that's what I want to be.